very, very shocked moments for you. I didn't expect to read tonight. It was Mary's night to stroke it on. But I know two poems of mine by heart. Two very sharp ones. And the first one arose, Mary was saying that she had the same experience with her husband. At about 3 or 4 or 5 in the morning, she gets an idea, she gets up, turns on the light, and writes the poem. There's a husband in bed and a wife in bed trying to stream it. But anyway, I had this dream 2 nights ago that I was having a conversation with W.B. Yeats. Now, Yeats is one of my favourite poets. He's one of the greatest poets in the English language. But he was also a bit of an idiot, you know, with women and all the rest. And I said this to him in verse, thus 4 short lines. Yeats, you're an idiot. You're also a poet. All poets are idiots. Some of us know it. And, the other one I was reading in for Saudi Kiri in Tralee at one stage, and the reading was built as a children's reading in a Mahani's bookshop, and all the children were downstairs, were downtown having their faces painted, so it turned up that a couple of adults turned up and I read for the adults. But anyway, it reminded me, of course there was no remuneration or anything for it, like, it was all going to my own expense, it was fine, but important for the money, and forget about it. But anyway, it reminded me of Anthony O'Rafferty, who was the blind poet of Mayo, who spent his life wandering around Connemara in penury, writing these fabulous poems in Irish, and really earning no living from it. And he wrote a famous little poem called Mishonastri, which it's only 3 short verses, which I can give you in Irish, his own words, talking about paying money for nothing, for empty pockets. Mishonastri an fila, lan dokish is ga, the sulig an solus, the kionis an crawl, the sheer and master the solus mcree, found of his tishak, the deramahi, theatin ismais, mf cool the bala, a shinim kyol, the folky follow. And my take on Mishonastri was, when few attend your reading, and there is no sign of a check, and the promoter says thanks anyway, you take it in the neck. You pack your books into your bag as you leave the empty hall, like Rafferty before you, playing for sweet fuck on.
Have to thank Gabriel again, because not only did he bring Raftery to us, he also drove Mary to be with us here. Is Sue Cosgrove ready to read?
Hi, I'm not reading my own poem tonight. I tend to be lazy, so I'm going to read somebody else's poem. And something I came across, and I thought it was appropriate since we have electioneering going on, lots of sweet words being tossed around by all the politicians. So this is by the Palestinian poet Mahmoud Darwish. I'm not sure if any of you know him. He's one of the greatest Palestinian poets, and this is called Psalm 3. It's about words. On the day my words were earth, I was friend to stalks of wheat. On the day my words were wrath, I was friend to chains. On the day my words were stones, I was friend to streams. On the day my words were rebellion, I was friend to earthquakes. On the day my words were bitter apples, I was friend to optimists. But when my words turned into honey, flies covered my lips. Thank you.
Patricia Watch, she's fresh from her successful reading in Limerick last week.
Thanks, Stephen. This is called This Must Be Your Life. Although I know for sure that it wasn't cultured at the time, today the experiments have all improved, more sensual than said learn. Realities I know will have to be faced, but just which kind is query that looms. And then there's the history of the craze, seamless on the thinking looms. If I tell and I am unsure, there will be shock. But I'm sure enough, that's fine, but then, The puerile questions will be asked, and names that I can once have. This is me, now question no bother was, what kind of picture should I try to conceive? If no one on right and fifth inserts, but should I prove what one to believe? It's called Accident by Design. It's a simple division and moving from city to city. Two people becoming unstuck. For strangers, it feels as though you never existed. Having dug deep into trenches, there is a hibernation sense from contact by any means. All this and it hasn't even gone a week. Hibernating and it's not even autumn. I sit at home and rest is ordered. I sit and mourn, dressed in black. When he's not dead, sometimes seeing his eyes. It's a simple division that causes no explosion. It's called Return to Receiver. When inspired but fired, I reach a point of all returns, albeit catapulted higher. Higher and higher through inner space. I do declare, am I scared? Are you embarrassed? You answer with a lot of face. One honest move will cost me surely. My treasure is worth more than all the sex and confession. Whimsies wander in and out, silently meandering. Nothing I know has passed my heart closer to your person, like a ring pin to your encrypted speech. Nonetheless, I can return your voice. Here, I'm finished. A final cry. Seek me not among the ashes of the bar. Thanks.
Margaret Howard, it's our first time. Hello, Margaret.
This is a poem. Can you hear me there?
Yes, we
can. I just learned when I was 10 or 11, I suppose, something like that. It's called The Old Woman of the Rope. Oh, to have a little house, to own the hearth and stove and all. The heat of suds upon the fire, the pile of turf against the wall. To have a clock with weights and chains, and pendulum swinging up and down. A dresser filled with shining delf, speckled with white and blue and brown. I could be busy all the day, cleaning and sweeping hearth and floor. And fixing on their shelf again my white and blue and speckled store. I could be quiet there at night, beside the fire and by myself. Sure of a bed and loath to leave the ticking clock and the shining dove. Oh, but I am weary of mist and dark, and roads where there's never a house nor bush. And tired I am of bog and road, and the crying wind and the lonesome hush. Ah, but I am praying to God on high, and I am praying night and day for a little house, a house of my own, out of the wind and the rain away.
It's our first time reading.
Oh, yeah,
that delivery was excellent. So you're being marked as a liar. Next is Rosie, your reading.
Two haikus, so very short. For fear of falling, I remain horizontal, become all surface. I hold my own hand, grip tight to remind myself, vessels overflow.
The regular noise was Rossadon. I was doing a bit of research there online as well, and I couldn't help but notice the coincidence of the Literary Tree Festival that's happening on the 16th, or sorry, the 19th, that it's clashing with the Dublin Film Festival as well. It's on the 17th to the 27th. So, just out of stupidity, really, I decided that I'd volunteer my services to go up, as it's a great passion of mine. And it turns out that I'm always kind of ahead of myself with missing deadlines. So, I can't even volunteer because the deadline was January 1st. So there's some great entries from all over the world, which I've read through the whole lot of them and kind of confused words and mixed up a lot of it. But I think a lot of the Irish entries are shorts, which are well described. So if you just check that website, it's good. Great. I prepared this for tonight. I've taken inspiration from Paul was reading last week about when he was talking about his military experiences with depth charges in U-boats and submarines. So I've called this depth charges, which is called DEBT. So, try and project the voice. Depth charges. Typical. A-E-R-I-O-U. A-E-R-I-O-U, A-E-R-I-O-U, A-E-R-I-O-U. How did foes become so dangerous? Or, in the interest of interest, I am compounded by that consonant, which is R. A race which inflated like the dirt I have been depositing through my own vaults. Lend me your arrears. The bank corrupts sea. Sea. Another constant or charge for this lump which is my son. Shall I disown this loan and or waver my right to flight? Finances ledgered for whom exactly? Assets amalgamated due to liquidity. What good are shares if you do not invest in yourself? Paperwork mounting, erect another shelf. Or why not be bolder and create a new folder and bequeath electronics with all of your wealth. Now that you're older, at least you can focus on your health. So why not become a priest or a nun and think of the thousands you'll save for when they tax fun? Listen to whomever you like, my friend, but just remember that death is not the end.
Is American ambassador.
What?
Grant,
what? This is called the 815 Ford by downtown Portland. And over there, where creeps the shades of the day when I wore your face and shamed it all, lies a looming that shrinks me as I pass. O'er the vacant field after whiskey went pouring over my eyes and led me hand in hand where my knees grew weak and creeps mosquitoes that draw down a good July where I've failed but never tried. Or in that lot where brothers call the cops or stop to think that men are made boldly and men are made slowly and men are always, always, always made to fear being lonely. But my eyes like prayers when I ride, the 815, not the 905. My limbs like wind and far behind, lies where I failed but never tried. Thanks.
Thank you. Paul Gibbs.
Thank you. Just a couple of some poems that some of you probably have heard before, most maybe not, shortish poems. Just one called Marsh for the place you're living at, which you are. I was all bog and bits of islands. My buried heavy mane of reed, a river of lyrical russet, a Celtic hunter slowing his courage to the heartbeat of a wayward doe. I grew wooden bridges and jetties, towers and ramparts, cupped huts and dirt roads. Smoke rose nightly from the jewels of swords and hearts. I sank heavier with merchants and markets. Cobblestones, cannons kept alehouses then, top hats and summer umbrellas tilted to soldiers and carriages. Oil street lamps lit stocks and paupers. Men and metal stitched me whole. Now I sleep with buses and pipes. Pylons and beggars reflected thrice in glass. Mobile phones and miniskirts flirt my name while coffee shop buskers point tourists to pavement art. Thank you. And the extended version of that poem has an extra line which goes, "What will I not endure?" There's been too much debate as to whether I should keep that line or not. People are disgusted with me that I've kept a line in some version of the poem. And finally, I did a poem last week about Bridget being the first of spring. I'm not going to do that now again because it wouldn't be right, so 2 weeks in a row. But because it's full winter and there's a lot of homeless people out in the world, just do a short poem for the homeless. So I can remember the first syllable. I'll have the poem for you. Give me a second. The second line is, the city has its own dream. Yep.
Well, how very good second line.
It's great, isn't it? How I just remember the beginning.
Start with the second line.
You can't start with the second line. What do you do in situations like this, you know?
Home without a home.
It is, yeah. It is. It's called Home More or Less. It's for homeless, yeah.
I can't.
The city has its own dream. And
when
you
get to the end, you might remember the beginning.
And talks in its sleep softly. The low drone of summer bees and harmony, somewhere far away vibrates just where my sleeping bag meets the ground. Wings ache, have forgotten their purpose, and rest is the only prize now. And soon it is a dark morning. The promise of that other world stirs, sweeping away the oh so close nirvana of this womb of generous sleep. I will return soon, soft stone, to whisper into your ears a blessing, into your tired ears a blessing, for that soul I may never meet who left this fruit and steaming tea. What was the first line? Sorry to do this to you.
You remember?
Home more or less. There lies all the time in the world in the stone of a winter doorway. The city has its own dream and talks in its sleep softly. Thank you very much.
I took a while with two poems from Parkin. The last man on the list and the last call at the bar. For drinks, last poem, some Conor McNamara.
First poem is called "Let Your Open Swear." "He'd be got dead in a ditch, that fella," said the woman, tapping the picture of the released rapist on the front of the Echo, as the shop assistant put credit on her phone. She had lost the sight in one eye when a passing car burst a bottle. Glass shards flying. All that, and I only wanted a sandwich. This is called Long John. It's after my grandfather. He died when I was 13 or 14, and I wrote this probably about 15 years later. So it just captures kind of fragments of memory. "He stood with his back to the smoke-stained chimney breast, tall, straight as an arrow. The Long Johnnies, his family were called, after him. His white hair flourished against the black charred rafters of the low drinking room ceiling. A set of shark's teeth hung open on the wall above his head, given by a friend who had been in Bermuda or somewhere. he drank from a glass of Guinness. Before leaving to drive his long white car to Nana's, he would place his bottle green berry on his head and stoop to walk through the hall door. He was home. He came each year from England to see Nana and Mum, and I suppose my aunts and uncle, but this time he was home for good. I even saw him once in his blue bib overalls and beret walking across Low Street. It felt strange that I knew this man. I was at school when he died. The priest was wringing his hands when he called me out of class to tell me. Mum said he was driving home from work when he had a heart attack and the car just rolled into the gripe. I imagined he was wearing his overalls and beret when they found him in the long white car. Thank you.
Thanks, Connor. There's a bit of time for another poem if someone wants to say. Anybody want to do it? One more poem. There he goes. There's one more poem.
Hello, hey. Just scribbled this one minutes ago. Man, this is too much. Not sure what I mean. Man, I'm not the guy yet. What a night I think I had. Get it together, man. Cut out the night before. Then never again day after. Yes, I will get help. When, oh when, ah when. How about a little help, Lord?